Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, Rise and Shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? We were shaking the Monday morning blues with the deep top group, and you know how it goes down. Conversation, and we talked about signs he has strong feelings for you. Now, this conversation is really interesting. There wasn't a whole lot of agreement with what the list has. So let's see what we talk about. Well, when it seems like he always has something more he wants to say, is that a sign he has strong feelings for you? That went straight down the drain. What about he seems like he's scared to tell you his true feelings about random subjects? That went down the drain as well. Oh, my goodness. What else are we talking about here? He makes it a point to be super chivalrous. Now, this one kind of got a little bit of yes and a little bit of nah. You know, they said, you know, opening up the door, always standing up when you stand up, pulling out the chair for you, all of that kind of stuff. It was like, yo, he's trying to play you. He's just trying to get the goods. And how long are you going to fall for that? And then on the flip side, there was someone who said, well, I believe that, you know, that is a sign for me. And so we were kind of split there. We were kind of split. Oh, here was one. He distances himself from other girls in your presence. Now, I'm trying to figure out who wouldn't. What dodo would not separate himself, you know, when from other women when he's with you? Well, let me tell you something. One thing I've learned, there's always one. There's always one who would be the exception to the rule. But that one, they were like, well, where did you get this list from? know, I always say, when a list is comprised and compiled, you know, that means that someone had to have done it. Yeah, it may seem strange. It may seem a little crazy. But at the end of the day, somebody did something. Yeah, somebody did this thing. So it shouldn't be all that weird to begin with. Let's see if we can, I think that was it. Yeah, I think that was it. That list didn't go over too well with the Due Time crew. Because they just wasn't buying it. They weren't buying it. So, what are you going to do? You know, maybe we can get to another time where we talk about the things that the Due Time crew feels that are strong signs of, you know, when a man likes you or when he's interested or however this this goes, when he has strong feelings for you. Yeah, maybe that's what we'll do the next time. We'll go around Robin and see what the Due Time crew says. How's that? And they can talk about all the things they either feel they don't do or they do. Now, how about that one? I think we'll come up with a nice little list. Okay. Well, a Monday would not be a Monday if not for the switch tip with Shanti's and yesterday's tip was stop trying to speak their language. Now, it started off with the story of the Tower of Babel. You know how they got together and figured they were going to build a ladder so they could get to God. Yeah, you know that story. Early Genesis story. And God said, I don't think so. So he broke them all up into different languages. Everybody spoke a different language, so they didn't know how to communicate. And thus, it never got completed. Well, as Shanti was talking yesterday, this God gave me something, like right in my ear, and I was like, wow. And you know, today when I think about just the whole stop trying to speak their language, it makes me really understand that when God calls you, he's calling you, not calling them. He's calling you to come away and out of. Oh. Feel the world coming on. He's separating you. He's making it his business to separate you. And what's supposed to happen is, as he's calling you and as you're drawing nearer to him, you two should no longer, or you five, or you 20, or you and your people should stop speaking the same language. And what I'm noticing is there was some adverse reaction or response to this thing here. Like, you're a little twisted that you're being separated, or you feel separated, or these people don't speak your language anymore, or these people don't understand you anymore, you don't understand them anymore. Well, that's the point. Oh, that's the point. The point is, in order for God to draw you out, you two, you 10, you 15, you and your people have got to stop speaking the same language. Remember now, let's go back to the Tower of Babel. You had all these people who had gotten together and had found a common goal. Here's what we're going to do. And I want you to fill in the blank. What is that common goal that you had with your people before God called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? What was that thing? What was that thing? Come on, let's go back. The Tower of Babel. There was a common goal amongst a group of people. So now let's come into this life we have now. There's a common goal amongst you and your people. And if you don't have God in your life, or the people who you're with, it could be family, it could be friends, it could be a mixture, but you and your people all have a common goal, and that's to continue in the life of sin. So you're all speaking the same language. Let's think about this thing here. Pastor Charlene has talked about it. John Peace has openly talked about it. You know, they talked about the fact that, yeah, you know, we were all up in the club, or we were all up in the bar, or we were doing this and we were doing that. There was a common goal. And the common goal was to get your head twisted. You know, maybe your common goal was to, you know, smoke weed, or, you know, your common goal was just not to do anything that had anything to do with church or God or whatever situation is. But whatever your common goal or goals were, it was not to please God. And God wanted you. Remember, he called you by name well before you were even here. He knew you by name well before you were even here. And now it's time for you to come up out of that. You go look a little bit strange. They're going to sound strange. Y'all not going to have so much in common anymore. Y'all not going to speak the same language. So it's not weird. It's not going to be comfortable. Stop fighting God. Stop trying to speak their language. And if you notice, the more, you know, God is calling you, the less you have in common with these people. Well, guess what? That's the way it's designed to be. How is it that God is going to call you out, but everything is still going to feel comfortable? Everything is still going to sound and look the same. That's the goal. And I've literally seen and heard this adverse response, this anger, or this irritability, this frustration. Yo, it's either or. It can't be both. God has already told us it can't be both. Why do you think it can be both? You got to choose a side. Remember, God says, I need you to be hot or cold. I can't have you lukewarm. If you are, I'm going to spit you out. So there's going to be a difference. I'm serious, and I'm looking at, and I'm listening to this struggle of why is there a difference, and why I can't hang with the same people, and why do I have to leave this? And here's what I get all the time. When I talk, people look at me like I'm crazy. But you still want to be around the people. I don't get it. I know I'm different. Well, then if you know you're different, then stop complaining that the people that you're talking to don't understand you, because they're not going to, because you are no longer speaking their language. And let me tell you something. It doesn't only have to be you talking about God, because it doesn't have to start there. No, we can't dictate how God is going to start the separation, but know that there's always going to be differences. I don't care whether it's your family. I don't care if it's somebody you grew up with. I don't care if it's somebody you've been with for 20, 30 years. It doesn't matter. When God calls you out, he's calling you to come from amongst them. You will not speak their language. They will not speak your language if you answer the call. If you have that desire to want to move higher, that will no longer mean that you're going to speak the same language. So cut it out. Cut it out. Stop purposely reaching for people who are unequally yoked to partner with them. And we're not talking about you ministering to people, because that ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Ministering and evangelizing and discipling, that's a whole different story. Because, see, you're going to understand that there's no common language for the two of you. That when you're calling a person and you're evangelizing to a person, you're going to distinctly have two different languages. But listen, don't go out here trying to make friends with people who are in the world. You're not supposed to befriend them before you're supposed to evangelize to them. Because let me help you understand something. Stop thinking your draw is going to be stronger than their draw. You may not be there yet. You may not be there. I'm going to tell you something else. Stop trying to pick your friends. Oh, man. That was just, everybody was like, yo, really? Really, Pastor Steph? Stop trying to pick your friends. Friends are tried, tested, and true. Stop trying to pick your friends. Let God pick your people. Develop the relationship on God's terms. Yeah. You know, think about your closest friend. Did you walk up to them and say, hey, I want to be your friend? No. You just had some commonality. You know, maybe you worked together. Maybe you went to school with them, you know. But you just don't walk up to somebody. You know, when little kids go to school, you know, that's what they do. You want to be my friend? And you can understand that because they're little people. But when we get big and grown, everybody wants to declare they grown. Then stop trying to pick your friends. Yeah, we talked friendship and things a couple of weeks ago. But you stop trying to pick your friends. Let God do that. Because when God chooses your people, you're going to speak the same language. And you're going to have some things that are more importantly in common. And we ain't even going to talk about you all out here trying to date. and you're supposed to be Christian people, and you out here pulling and digging up, trying to draw in the people that are not of God, because they always seem to have a bigger draw on you than you have on them. Now, I don't know how that always seems to happen, but don't do it to yourself. Watch the company you keep. The Bible tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. Yeah. That right there is telling you that it's stronger than who you are a lot of times. And all your good intentions go straight down the drain. So when God is trying to separate you from this world, understand that you will no longer speak the same language. Y'all always hear me talk about my youngest daughter, Tamasia. And for many years, Tamasia knows all the street lingo. I don't care how quickly it changes, she knows it all. And she would be talking to me and her sister, not just me. And it would be so funny because she'd speak, and the three of us would just look at each other. It's like, what in the world did she just say? And that was because she was speaking her generation's language. Wasn't curse words, but just the lingo. And it's like, yo, what in the world are you talking about? And she would clearly understand us, but we would not understand what she was saying. So, you know, I would just laugh. Just looking at their faces, just looking at Shantisha and Shawnee's, I'm like, well, then I don't feel so bad, because if they're looking at her like that, then, you know, they don't understand her much either. And it was always comical to watch. Well, that's how it is for us and the world. They don't understand us. But unfortunately, when we don't understand them, we stay in their lead. And we end up being all twisted later. So come on. Stop wanting to still fit in. Stop wanting to still be friends with the world. Stop. Stop. Understand that God is calling you. He's calling you. And you will no longer fit the bill if you decide to answer God. Okay? So, stop trying to speak their language. I really liked that one yesterday. They're all good. I just liked that one yesterday. Just a little bit more. All right. All right. Well, today is Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we got some stuff to talk about. Oh, we got some stuff to talk about. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell somebody that it's due time and Pastor Steph is on. And don't go anywhere, because we'll be right back.
Celiac disease. Seriously?
Seriously. Celiac disease.
It's an autoimmune disease.
Celiac disease.
Seriously?
My immune system is attacking my healthy cells.
Left untreated could lead to infertility, anemia, osteoporosis, hair loss.
Cancer.
Dad, why are you telling me all this?
Because I have it, and it's genetic.
Celiac disease. Seriously?
Not just immediate family. All family members are at risk.
Okay, but I don't have any symptoms.
People can have celiac disease without even knowing it.
It took me 12 years to get the right diagnosis. You can find out now.
Take the first step and ask your doctor for a simple blood test.
If your family has been affected by celiac disease, this is the conversation you need to be having. Talk to them.
Tell them the facts.
urge them to test.
Mom, can we talk?
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Already Tuesday. Man, before you know, we'll be through the week. And we have just started the month of October. And we're giving God thanks that He's allowed us to see a brand new month. Yeah. Well, what are we going to talk about today? Let's see. All righty. We got a lot of stuff. Where do you even start? Let's see. There's like so many things here. I don't want to start there. Let's see. Here we go. Well, they've been working on a major thing out in Florida, and they've made 176 arrests since April in the human trafficking squad. Yeah, they alone, in this human trafficking squad, they alone have picked up 176 people, and most of them were charges related to solicitation of prostitution with minors. And it's been an amazing, you know, they're kind of reeling at some of the stuff that they've been saying. And they're saying that, you know, the men and the women who they have picked up, they're like amazed. They are really amazed. And they're saying they've had so many people like with fake IDs or who've been showing fake IDs online. So I don't know what kind of thing this is that they even have people showing IDs. They've done things where they pretended to be like a dad who was looking to traffic his 14-year-old daughter, and they said that the responses have been crazy. They have been so overwhelming. They said that you'd be surprised at how many individuals want young girls and young boys, and to the degree of just being creative with the type of scenarios, they've been truly blown away. So they had a particular situation come up that really caught my attention, which is why I'm bringing this to you today, because we talked about the sex trafficking and things like that. But they said that there was a guy that they picked up in this 176 arrest. He was arrested on the night of his honeymoon. After his wife fell asleep, he connected to someone so he could have sex with them. Now, I know people marry for different reasons and all kind of things. But really, I mean, we couldn't even get out of the marital night. Your first night being married, it's so twisted. You so twisted. Your situation is so twisted that you couldn't wait. Really? I don't know. You know, why even bother? Now, one might say, you know, well, maybe they had an arranged marriage and, you know, so she wouldn't be offended. That ain't the case here. Nope. That's not what he told the cops. So when they did this thing that particular night, amongst the other things that they were doing, he connected with a woman who he was soliciting for sex, and it ended up being a deputy. Now, can you imagine telling your wife this story? She got to come bail you out of jail because you were soliciting for sex. I don't know if I would want to be in that conversation. I don't know, y'all. Well, it really just speaks to, you know, how nasty and dirty people really are. Their hearts are dirty. Their minds are dirty. Yeah. So, but at least this one didn't go for the minor. But he went for the sex worker nonetheless. Well, we have in New York a son, 25 years old, pled guilty to killing his mother, who, after killing her, left her in a garbage container. Now, he's now facing 18 to life or a maximum of 22 to life. Now, here's the deal with him. He killed his mother to help accelerate an inheritance. So he and his brother were the recipient of an inheritance of his father. Now check this out. This is how this goes. So there's $10 million that the father, when the father died, the mother was going to get. Now, mom, it was left everything. But just in case something happened to mom and she died, him and the brother would get everything. So they killed her. Oh, God. Yeah. They killed her so that they could hurry up and get the money that she would have gotten from the father. So they said that after they killed the mom, he switched all her passwords for her bank accounts, did research on inheritance attorneys, and they also saw that he had Googled a search for ways to get rid of a body, including DIY, which for those of you who don't know, do-it-yourself bone meal. What in the world is that? Really, y'all? So, stupid 25-year-old, you kill your mother and you do all of this, and then you get on Google. You know how many people have been caught on Google just for the sex? Look, we just got finished talking about the sex trafficking. That's one of the ways that a lot of them have gotten caught. They searching, you know, for children for sale and all kind of things. You really mean to tell me you 25 years old and you that stupid? Normally, you're always a step ahead of us, you know, when it comes to the no for, you know, knowing how to do stuff on the internet. But I was stupid. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, talk about fun. Mom is arrested after her son was brought to the hospital by her. By her. So this child was brought to an emergency room medical center with third-degree burns and injuries to the head, face, arms, legs, back, and genitals. Okay? And they were flagged, the cops were flagged because social services was called when the doctors and the medical staff called them, and they said that the wounds that the child had was probably wounds from abuse. And what happened was the cops told social services that the wounds could not have been self-inflicted and that some of the wounds were in the healing process. So they didn't give the child's exact age and they didn't give the child's name. You know, I see that they're doing that a lot. They don't give the child's name because the parent's name, because when they give the parent's name, it automatically lets people know who the child is. So they said they arrested the child's stepmother, and she faces multiple charges, including attempted murder, malicious castration, first-degree kidnapping, and 3 counts of felony child abuse with serious injuries. And one of the injuries was she castrated the son, the stepson. Now, he goes to they take him to the emergency room. Can you imagine? They put this boy to sleep. They didn't numb him or anything. So not only do you do bodily harm in other areas, but you castrate him. How much could you literally hate a child to do something like that? How? Well, at least this one is being held on $2 million bond. So if she's a stepmom, but she sure ain't got the money. She sure ain't got no money. Nah, she ain't got no money. She ain't rich like that. No. No. She ain't rich. I don't believe she rich. She ain't rich enough to make that bond. Because even at a percentage, she can't make that. She ain't making that bond. So, yes, good. She will sit in jail. And she'll have to deal with it. Because that's what she needs to be. All right, what's the next story here? Now, this one was really another sad story that was self-inflicted. So you have this 15-year-old and his buddies who, this is really a weird chain of events. So you have in Florida, this 15-year-old boy and his buddies, three of them all together, they checking for unlocked cars so they can go for a joyride. Well, they found this Maserati with keys inside of a driveway, and they took off. Well, some deputies that were patrolling in a chopper in something completely unrelated, they were looking for some unrelated burglary stuff, spotted the kids from up above as they were entering this car. And what they did was they called it in to the ground patrol as a theft in progress. Possibly. Now, when they approached the car, this 15-year-old who was driving, he took off, and he was speeding over 80 miles per hour. Okay? Now, while he was speeding, he lost control of the car. It fishtailed, as they call it, careened over a curb and hit a business sign and flipped over. The 15-year-old sitting in the front passenger seat died on the scene. The 16-year-old passenger in the back seat had life-threatening injuries and wasn't expected to survive at the time of the report. And the driver is recovering in the hospital. So here we are, 3:30 in the morning, which is why the patrol above them flagged it. That's why they flagged it, because ain't no way in the world you supposed to be out here at 3:30 in the morning. So you are here at 3:30 in the morning stealing cars. You then take off at 80 miles and get up to 80 miles per hour. You lose control of the car, and two of them pretty much don't make it. Because even if the one that they took to the hospital that they weren't expecting to make it, even if he does make it, guess what? His quality of life ain't going to be the same. His quality of life is not going to be the same. All for what? You didn't even enjoy the ride. It wasn't even like y'all were riding around and then. No, not much longer after y'all got in the car is when the car was approached. So you didn't even have a chance to enjoy yourself. Oh, boy. Well, here's one that'll make you smile before we talk to the due time crew. So they said that there's been a video that's gone viral from a woman who took a video of a lady who put a little girl. And she looked about 3 or 4 years old. She looked more like 4, they say. That she went, you know, she paid her fare at Disney World. And when she got past the point of paying, she lifted up the blanket over the stroller and took the 4-year-old out of, are y'all ready for this? You know the seat that you put, the child seat you put in the car? Like when they coming out the hospital, the baby coming up the hospital. That's what the woman took the child out of. Can you imagine? She had it, and everybody was like, well, she could have at least waited. No, she couldn't have. Think about how long the line was, right? So you got the little girl in the car seat. You know the car seat that you put, like, okay, so they double. They double as a car seat, and then you could take them and put them and latch them on to the stroller. Yes. Can you imagine what her little legs must have felt like? And they sure didn't want her complaining. Can you imagine you're one of the workers and you see a person with a baby? Because you could see that shape. And you got the blanket over that type of car seat or seat, the stroller seat. And then the child underneath it starts complaining. Man. Oh, you are definitely found out at that point. Definitely. So they had to hurry up and take her out of there. So that's why she didn't last much longer after they got through the pain, the pain booth. Because they had to get her up out of there. Her legs probably were all, her legs had to be cramped. Oh, yeah. And then they started talking about all of the different ways people have gone through knowing that these children weren't, like, under two. Okay? So they said, one person said, my son is four, but at Disneyland, he knows he's two. Another person says, I fully support this because when we went in May, it was literally like taking a second mortgage out on your house. Wow. There's another woman that says, listen, no way. I'm not doing that. I even explained to my kids that it's wrong to get fountain drinks with a water cup. It's just a principle of the thing. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, what people won't do, really, y'all? So they started to ask the workers, you know, like, you've seen this before. And most of them said they just let it go. They said they're not about to argue with the people. You know, a couple of them said they know that when they asked how old these children were, that the kids weren't two. You could just look at the kids and tell that the kids weren't two. But they weren't going to bother. And then there were others that said, oh, no. No, no. You gonna pay. And they have even put people out of Disneyland and Disney World even after they've gone through and they found out that they didn't pay for the child. They put the whole family out. Yeah, so I guess, you know, this ain't all that cute. This ain't all that cute. So, let's talk to our little D-Time crew for a quick minute. Good morning. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Pastor Steph, how are you today, my darling?
I am well, thanks. How you doing over there?
I'm trying to deal with this rain, but I'm okay.
All right.
Weather don't do good.
Good to know. All right, you got the guy who was arrested for in the prostitution ring on the night of his wedding, his honeymoon night. You got the kid that killed his mother to to accelerate the inheritance that his father left the mother, sell her off, him and the brother get the money, they get to split it evenly. You got the mom who was jailed and held on $2 million bond for castrating the son. Or you got the teen who went joyriding, and two of them pretty much lost their lives. Which one do you want to talk about today?
Because I had some for everybody. I'm going to go with this mother that abused her child. I'll go there.
Okay.
So when she takes the baby, right, what people do for money, that's the one that's killing them. Which one I said? No, let me
you
do the one that the kids killed the mama. That's the one I want. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I had the wrong information. I'm going to do that one.
Okay.
About the 15-year-old, the two brothers that killed the mother. Now, first of all, like you said, they are going on this YouTube and all of this, getting this information. So I thought of the dumbest criminals when we was talking about them before. Right? I thought about what people would do for money. And then I thought about what makes you think that these boys wouldn't turn on each other? Because if we in this together, and you said it's $10
million? $10 million.
Okay. You ain't going to think, I ain't going to think about bumping you off so I can get all the money myself if we don't get caught? Right.
Never know. You're right. Never know. There's not always honor amongst thieves. You got that right.
Right. Because if you hungry for money like that, it'll make you do anything.
Yeah.
So it's going to make me say, okay, we can do this. Look at a lot of bank robbers, you know. It'd be a few of them, and they start bumping
right.
each other off.
Right. Yep.
Right. So that's what I thought of with them. I'm like, and then you, how did you not think, once again, not thinking things through of, they always come, even when you watch TV, they come, get the laptop, they come and do
right.
all of this investigation.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So,
well, he
dumb
two
and
friends.
Dumber.
No, excuse me. Dumb, dumber, dummier, and dumbest. Because he had two friends. Two friends that joined the party to help dump the body. They didn't kill the mama. They didn't help kill the mama. But they were found guilty of tampering with a dead body, tampering with evidence, concealing a corpse. Yeah. You know why, Pastor Charlotte? Because he didn't probably offer them part of the 10 mil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then when they dig the ditch for the mama, once again, they probably was going to put them down too, because now you don't want to split all of that money. You don't want that money. So now the two brothers got to kill the other two because you don't know when they going to talk. See, they didn't think it all the way through.
There we go. There we go. Because that's what I was going to say. No, you don't want to share the money, but what you don't want more is for somebody to talk. The more people know, the bigger the chance you getting caught. So you're right.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't want them to talk, Pastor Charlotte. Yes. I'm with you, girl. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk to Pastor KL, and let's see what story he caught up on. He caught up. Hey, Pastor KL, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
Wow, I thought you were ready to pass out. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm just whistling Dixie today. I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, good. We're happy to hear you whistling Dixie. What story did you come in on?
Let's see. I came in on most of my, I want to say, but I'll talk about the fools that wanted to go joyriding.
Okay.
I never knew, I mean, even in my day, I never understood that concept. Me, I never wanted to go in somebody's car. I never wanted to steal no car. I didn't understand the thrill of it all. You know, here you are,
okay.
You thinking that you're stealing cars and riding around and you end up killing yourself. I mean, and it's always, listen, there's always the people who don't have a license, who really don't know how to drive, but think they know how to drive. And then
yeah.
They want to drive 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They want to drive reckless. You know, so it's not even a joyride. It's a reckless ride. You're not even stealing
okay.
a car because you have a destination to go to and you just want to get there because you don't want to ride the train. You just stealing a car just to go anywhere until the gas runs out. You know, that's ridiculous to me.
Wow. You know, and it's especially sad that there's no lesson learned, Pastor KL. Only one could really learn a lesson. Because the other two are pretty much well gone.
Right.
You know, you don't learn. He has to live with this for the rest of his life, you know. And something just so senseless. 3:30 in the morning.
Right.
3:30 in the morning.
And then where are, you know, we always say this, but where are the parents that you don't know your child is not in the house? You know, there used to be a commercial when we were growing up. It's 2:30 in the morning. You know where your children are. You know what I mean? It's 1 o'clock. I mean, at some point, do you not roll over and go to the bed or check to see if Johnny's in the room? Or we just assume. See, this is why we don't close doors in my house. Because you just assume because the door's closed that they want privacy and they sleeping. So we never go in their room to realize that little Johnny ain't even home.
Yep. You're right. Because I know in my house, Pastor KL, I have one square up there. You go up there, one big square. And just door after door, bathroom, door and door. And when I would get up to go to the bathroom, I just turn the doorknob. I'm opening up doors.
Right.
Are you here? Check, 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 check. Yes, I'm checking. You know, and I think as a parent, one of the worst things, somebody knocks on your door and it's the police. And they say,
right.
ma'am, you know, or sir, you know, do you have a child named Joe Smo? And you're like, yeah. Well, we're sorry to, you know, tell you that they were in a car accident. And you're like, not my kid, not my Joe. Joe's upstairs in the bed.
Because Joe in the bed. Joe in the bed.
Yep. Yeah. Joe's upstairs in the bed. Not my Joe.
Wow.
And unfortunately, yes, it's your Joe, you know. And I agree with you. You know, these privacy things and the door is closed. And, I mean, I just, you know, even when the girls are out late, I'm always texting. I need to, you know, text back. Let me know, you know, are you in the house? Where are you at this time? You know, I tell you, this raising kids, man, this ain't no joke, Pastor KL.
I wouldn't have no more kids right now if they offered me the $10 million. I mean, I just wouldn't. And you know what? And it has nothing to do with, you know, I'm getting old and I don't want to run out behind a child. I don't want to change diapers. It's the point that when they get in their teens, I don't have no hair. I can't get no more gray. I don't have no more hair. I just can't deal with the frustration and the worry when they start smelling themselves. And I'm too old to go to jail. Big Bubba gonna get me. He gonna get me. I'm too old. I ain't got no fight. I got two good hits. If I don't knock you out, then I'm done.
Yeah, it's a lot different raising children these days. And man, it's no joke. And I wouldn't want to be a parent today. I'll tell you that. I would not want to be a parent either, Pastor Cam, because that's what I was thinking when I read the article. And I'm like, yo, 3:30 in the morning, you think your kids are in the house, in the bed, especially a 15-year-old, you think they in the house, in the bed, and you get a knock on the door to go down to a hospital to identify your child. I mean, that there, you don't even make it to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you have a heart attack right in the house. It's too much. These kids, they take a lot for granted. Ah. But thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk to our girl, Tamika. Let's see what she's got to say. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I said a good morning, though, because, you know, Pastor KL took all the good morning from everybody else. So I just said a good morning.
I'm saying to myself, did she get on here knowing she can't talk? Oh my, that's new. I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do with that one? Oh, how are you today?
I am doing well.
Good. What are we talking about today?
Well, you know, since we're talking about, you know, sudden surprises, I'm going to go on the other extreme. Finding out after saying I do that hubby done found him some extracurricular activities other than me. And just imagining receiving a phone call, you know, and I'm going to be, you're not just going to call me and say I'm in jail. And that's it. No. What you in jail for? And I need the truth, you know. Because when I get there, somebody going to tell me other than you, why you in there? And so you mean to tell me, you know, we just said I do. You know, a lot of people don't realize that when you get married, that whole ceremony is a lot. And a lot of times maybe you're winded, just tired. Maybe that particular night she decided, you know, let's just go to sleep. We can, you know, commence, you know, so you just decide you're just going to find you something else to do. You know, you're going to, and of all the people that you could have gotten in contact with, you get yourself locked up in jail. You know, not that I'm saying I'm not legalizing it. I'm not confirming anything. However, you know, you ain't got a friend or somebody. No, you decide to call or find a way that you get a complete stranger, and this is what this is what you're going to bring home to me, ultimately. Whether it's a stranger, whether it's somebody you know, I'm sure there had to be some type of red flags before today, but even if there were, now I know who you really are. And so when you call me and tell me that you're in jail for what, I know what to do. You're going to sit there for a while. I don't even think I'm going to get you out. As a matter of fact, I'm calling a lawyer first thing in the morning. I'm getting this phone call recorded. You say, what? Okay, no, we're not staying married, not another further.
Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, Tamika, I'm thinking as you're talking and I'm thinking as I was reading this article, and I'm saying to myself, okay, let's go down this lane. You get married. You go on a honeymoon. Now, generally, a honeymoon ain't in your house. A honeymoon is not in your town. A honeymoon generally is not in your state. Where would you even know? How in the world would you even know? Did you go to the counter, to the bellhop? Who did you go to
who not only could give you this information as to how to get a sex worker, but then he gave you some bad information. Yo, what is that? Nah. Did everybody's mic get turned off?
We didn't know which person you were talking to specifically.
I said all three of you. All three of them. I'm like, who gave you this information? They twisted because they didn't give you the wrong information, man. And here you got to tell your new wife. Ooh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was thinking, I had the chance of using Brother Al's computer, and a lot of times without your knowledge, sometimes you get these little crazy things that pop up, these little advertisements, Hot Girls Now, and this all this kind of crazy stuff, So I always, whenever I use his computer, I'm like, wait a minute. He's like, no, it just popped up. I said, right. And so I'm like, what in the world? What kind of research did you do, wherever you are to get access to these types of things? Oh, it just popped up. Yeah, no.
Woo, child. Woo, child. But I did think the same thing you thought, Tamika. I'm like, okay, you ain't showed no signs that there was something twisted before y'all got married, because how could you immediately defer to something like this or default to something like this if that wasn't your thing all along? So I don't know. You wasn't paying attention. You were not paying attention to some.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking that maybe he did the research wherever they was going in advance. Because like you said, it wasn't something new that he do already.
Ooh, Pastor Charlotte. Look at this detective mind. Are you sure you're in the right field?
But I do know one thing. He would not have called me, because my thought was, you better stay where you are, where bars is between me and you, because if you come out,
man, I'm with you, Pastor Sean. It's safer for you to be where you are right now. It's safer for me to be where you are right now. You need to stay where you are. That way, I won't end up in the jail next to you.
Exactly.
Nah. Oh, my goodness. Pastor KL, how do you explain that to your wife?
May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent. One from another.
Oh, he gonna watch all right. He gonna watch.
Oh my God.
Listen. First of all, what people don't know, you can get on Craigslist and you can find yourself a date for the night. You know what I mean? In fact, for years police have been trying to watch that site, because they say it's a date for the night, but it's really not a date for the night. Www.findhookups. I mean, there's plenty of exploring, my thing is that he must have sensed that wifey was going to be too tired to give up the cookie, so he made a backup plan. Unfortunately, his hands got caught in the cookie jar.
Yeah, for real. For real, man. That's crazy. Now that you and Pastor Charlotte actually have, she introduced that concept, it makes sense. like, you know, even like what you were bringing up, you know, how easy it is to actually get access. And if this is your lifestyle, then you know, like you said, you know where to go to get these hookups. But I have to tell you, Pastor Charlotte, that never crossed my mind that he even went in advance, or Pastor KL, you know, he, you know, this is the thing you carry around in your wallet or in your brain, you know, anticipating.
But you know what, Pastor Steph, I know you as a nun as you grew up, so you don't know certain things. But I know you was affiliated with Sister Act. You know what I mean? I know you were Sister Act. But let me just tell you, and especially like in New York, you know, for a long time you had Hunts Point, and everybody knew that, that the street walkers was on Hunts Point. You know, there was places in Brooklyn, in East New York. I mean, everybody has their own. 42nd Street was big for the people who had money. You know what I mean? Hunts Point, you had $5. You know, 42nd Street, you had to have $105. But in every area, there's an area that they are. So all you had to do is know the geographics, and then you can find something. So you didn't have to really do a big search.
Okay. Well, thank you for that piece of information. Again, let me know how out of the loop I am. But I just, like I said, in my head, I'm like, where would you even, you're out of the, you know, you're honeymooning someplace generally where you don't know. But just like you all have said, you know, you do your research, you know where you're going in advance. So you know that these are the kind of things that you like, then it ain't a whole lot you got to do to get what you want. Wow.
Well, I'm thinking maybe he was the planner and it had been someplace where he had been before, but she hadn't.
Wow. Because
now, you know, there's a whole totally different dynamic. Oh, let's go to Puerto Rico. Okay, great. Sounds wonderful. He's been to Puerto Rico, but she hadn't. So, you know, there's another thing. There's a whole totally different dynamic there.
Wow. You know, you people are really just kind of, you know, just so well-versed in these
And he might have used...
Don't go there.
Also, too, he might have used that study before.
Wait, what happened?
I said, and also, he might have used that site before.
Yeah, they got people in all locations, like Puerto Rico.
not only that. Listen, if again, you don't think that the other party is going to perform, she might have been part of the honeymoon. Hey. I'm going to pay for a flight for you to get here. Or, listen, a person like
you,
I don't know. So we stay locally. So, I mean, it's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. Y'all making it more harder than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Listen, people do things. We used to say back in the day, you know, you want to do something strange for some change. You know what I mean? I mean, back in the day.
Wow, he said, "Smile her in." Yo, wow. I said, y'all keep me just like my mouth is hanging open. Woo! Wow, thank you so much. We've given people some ideas. How to cheat on your honeymoon. Just listen to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. You'll learn the real tricks of the trade. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, today's conversation kind of goes along with what we're talking about, surprisingly. So it has ways that Satan keeps you in his grip.
in his world, away from worship. Just the way that Satan can pull you. Okay. So he says he makes the world look beautiful, attractive, and desirable. What are we talking about, Pastor Charlotte?
Absolutely. And when you're hungry and thirsty, everything looks good to you. So he can easily get that mind. And once he got that mind, he got the rest of you.
All righty. Pastor KL, you know, it says the enemy has his world looking beautiful, wonderful, delectable, desirable. That's how he keeps you going.
Well, definitely. I mean, as I always say, you know, the enemy is never going to attract you with something that he knows you don't like. So he'll bring all those things, whether it's money, whether it's women, whether it's cars, he'll bring all that stuff to you and dangle it as if it was a carrot to make you believe that you can have, you know, anything you want, that the world is your oyster, you know. And then when we get it, how many times do we say we're going to stop or we're going to quit? But yet it just keeps on pulling us because it's easily accessible, seemingly.
All righty. Tamika, what are we talking about? He has a way of making this world look real good. Oh, he really, really does. You know, he'll allow you to see that thing that glistens, that gets your attention. But his design is to kill, steal, and to destroy. And so you figure, oh, if I just have a little bit of this, if I have a little bit of that, it ain't going to hurt me. It's just a little bit. And before you know it, you done ate the whole thing. Not only have you eaten the whole thing, you're wanting more. And this is his whole design. You think that because you stepped a little bit that you're safe. You're not. Because what ends up happening is you desire more and more. And before you know it, you have gone so far until you can't even really find your way back to where you are. His design literally is to kill, steal, and to destroy. So whatever it is that you think that, you know, you're getting by, you're really not. And you need to literally seek the Lord for every step that you make.
All right. Wow, here's another one. He helps to give unclarity to the word of God, twists up and makes you confused as to the real meaning of scripture. Pastor KL.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen, how many times we done made the scripture to what we want? You know, I mean, we go out there and we see somebody drop $50 and we pick it up and then we say the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Now, we know we should have told that old lady, here's your $50. But now we think of, we want to run and say, look at God, I was blessed. I had a $50 bill that I had to pay on my phone, and somebody dropped $50 just for me. No, that ain't God. But we use scripture to play with it.
All right. Tamika. You know how he always makes, you know, that word of God seem a little confusing. You don't understand the meaning of these things anymore. The sad part about the word is that for whatever it is that you desire, you can turn it, you can twist it into what you want it to be. You get that phone call from that lady friend or that man that you're interested in, the Lord works in mysterious ways. No, that's a trap. It is targeted to get you, and get you going. And so it is very important that we study the word and that we get with people who know more than we do so that we can get access and grow in what we do, and not just read a little bit, the surface level. Go deeper. All righty. Pastor Charlene, you know, just get a person confused in the word of God, and that's all you need to do.
Absolutely. Just like it was stated, of how people take the word and make it what they want it to be. because, one, they're just reading it and not really studying it and being able to have other somebody, like Lady Tamika said, to help them along the way with it. Also, to get resources and being able to go to God and ask God of the meaning of it, because a lot of times by people not even, especially those that don't even come into interact with anybody, and they're just reading it. So they just make it to what they want it to be. And that's one of the things that's happening now.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right. How about the fact that he makes it seem as though those who follow Christ are poor? Are poor. Let me put it like that. Let me just say it like that. Are poor. Like, they're not reaping the benefit of a wonderful life in the Lord. Tamika.
Yeah. Clearly, you know, we have time and time again seen things that transpire, whether it's in the news, you know, the media loves to find those that are in the Word that, and shine a light on all of the bad assets that are transpiring, because, you know, it's the enemy's way of saying, hey, look, they're not doing so good. You know, you see what happens when you become a Christian. Look at what happens, you know. And the sad part about it is, you know, life, rain, sunshine, it happens to everybody. And so, you know, when it's always in the limelight, of course, you know, and you're not necessarily getting access to it like you should, you're always going to view it as, oh, well, I don't want to be a Christian because look what Christian life looks like, you know. And that's the sad part, you know. You should have some access that shows, hey, somebody's doing good. You know, they're doing stuff in the neighborhood. They're helping people so that people do really see the good side.
All right, all right. Pastor Charlotte, you know, he has it looking like, you know, those who know Christ, who have, you know, giving their lives to Christ, they ain't doing so hot.
I'm sorry. I was distracted. Say that question again. I apologize.
Satan has it looking as though those of us who serve the Lord, we ain't doing so well. We poor, broken down, busted. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, no, sometimes that the Lord allow those things. Well, Satan will make you say, well, why do you believe in this Lord? Because you don't have this, right? And you don't have that. And look, but you always going into the building. You always calling on his name. That's his job. That's what he does. But even all through that, but the Lord always tells us that he will supply our needs. You ain't never been hungry. You might not have what you wanted, but you're able to eat. You know, and sometimes it'll show where that you are able to go to the next level in God in so many other ways, that where that even though Satan says no and he talks in our ear all the time, but look what God is doing on this side. You still got a roof over your head. You still have these things. And I just always believe that because that we might not have all what you think that we have, but we still are able to be with the Lord, and we're still, he's still showing that you can still survive. And especially during this time of people, a lot of people not having a job, how they are still able to survive. God still are paying their rent. You know, God still is providing for them to have. So you got to just let them know, Satan, you ain't got me. God still take care of me. He said he will supply all my needs. And I have never without. So therefore, you're a liar.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, you know, Satan always has a way of making it look like Christian people ain't got nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and again, you know, I listen to what everybody's saying, but the enemy, he knows the scriptures too. You know, he knows the word just as well. And what he does, he plays with it okay, well, I've gone to a place to prepare for you, and there's a mansion waiting on you. So at that point, he turns it and says, you can only live in a house when you die. You got to die to get a mansion. You got to die to walk on the street of gold. You're still in the projects now. You don't wait till you die to be happy. You know, the people who are working still can't even pay their bills. Come on, sell these drugs. You can make $2,000 a night. You know, come on, get on the pole. Come on, we can dance all night. Satan will take what you believe in and turn it around to make you believe that it really ain't worth waiting.
All righty. How about this one, Pastor Charlotte? Satan will cause disunity and dysfunction amongst your Christian people.
Dysfunction between the Christian people, you said? They're doing work in front of my in front of my door, so that's why it's hard, because it's real loud. So I'm apologizing. That's why I said I'm distracted. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay. I was saying he causes disunity and dysfunction amongst you and your Christian peers and congregants.
Oh, yes. He'll make us fight against each other, you know, and especially in the ministry, he will bring in division, you know, if we allow him to. And you have to be able to pray, stay in prayerful. Also, you know, and don't allow the enemy to come in, you know, and move forward. Because if he can get that chance of being in that, he will disrupt the whole entire ministry, and where people have left, where people have talked about each other, where to break out into fight. So the enemy is always working because he knows your shortcomings, and he will use them.
All righty. Pastor KL, he's going to cause disunity and all kind of chaos and dysfunction right amongst your Christian peers and congregants.
One of the ways he causes disunity is a lot of churches have churches within a church. You know, churches don't agree with what the pastor is saying or don't like the first lady. So now everybody gets on board. They got the first lady hating group, you know, or, you know, the pastor getting on my nerve group. And they end up having their own Bible study. They have their own church functions, you know. So that's one of this unity right there. You know, when you have a church within a church, that's a dangerous place because we don't know who's following who. So that you don't have to come outside the church to kill the church. You can kill the church from the inside.
Yeah. Tamika, what are we talking about here? Causing all kind of chaos. Not with you and your unsaved people, but you and your saved people. All right, so let's do this. Tamika had to leave. So we always got a lamb in the bush. Let's see what Shanti's got.
She backslid.
She left church. Shanti, thank you for joining
us. Good
morning. Thank you for joining us. I know Pastor KL and Pastor Charlotte can hold it down. But this is a goodie. This is a real goodie today. And I would love a millennial thought in this. So we're talking about the ways that Satan helps to destroy our lives. And we're up to distraction, you know, and disunity amongst our Christian peers, not the people who are in the street, not just our family, but people that are right in the church, in our church folk.
Yeah, so how he helps to distract, right, within the peer group in the church?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he uses what you're already putting out there. So again, because the enemy, because thank God he cannot get into our mind and, you know, hear our thoughts until we speak them out loud, he has to study us. So now you become, you know, you give your life to God, and now you are with your like-minded people, and God has called you to bind and bond with, you know, everyone that he has strategically placed you around. And then he sees that you are speaking, whether it be through your words and or your actions, that you are still allowing old or new distractions to now come and interfere with the fellowship inside and outside of service of those that God has placed you around. And now he starts to play on that, and he keeps playing on it and playing on it until you allow his voice to become louder than God's voice. And then, bam, now you're just all over the place because you have left the door open and invited him in to now play on what he already sees you allowing to distract you. He doesn't create the distractions. He just plays on it, and he helps to make it bigger and bigger and bigger. So we let him in, and we open the door for him to do that.
All righty. I like this one, Pastor KL. He takes you down through your pride. Whoa. How true is that?
Yeah, that's real good. That's real good because we won't ask for help. You know, we want to stand alone. We want to prove that we can do this without anybody, you know, and we find ourselves thinking more and more and more and doing things that we're not supposed to be doing. So I can't pay my rent, but I won't ask nobody to help me. So now I got to do stuff that I know is illegal just to come up with the money because I can't let these folks believe that I can't handle my own. So the enemy will tell you, listen, you're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to be grown. You're supposed to be the provider. Why you can't provide? What are we going to do now? And then that sinks into you, and you go out and start doing stuff that you know you ain't supposed to be doing because I'm supposed to be the man and the provider.
Wow. Good stuff. Shanti, the enemy will take you and distract you with pride. With your pride.
Yes, because, you know, I should be at the point where I should be able to do it. I actually just got finished dealing with this. And the only reason why it didn't bring me down is because God made sure I was very vocal about it, talking to my pastor about it, talking to my church family about it, about how I was feeling, very vocal about it, because when you sit with those prideful thoughts, and you marinate, you let that marinate, and you meditate on those things, he now keeps you in shame. And that's what it is. I mean, you're prideful. You're ashamed of something. And it's like, okay, I can't let this be known. I can't let this be seen. So, again, now he plays on that. So, again, like Pastor KL said, instead of asking for help or even pride, you know, because asking for help comes in multiple ways. It's not, oh, I need $5. Can I borrow $5? But, you know, I may need help with what I'm thinking. I may need help with how I'm feeling. You know, I made a bad decision. And, you know, instead of me just humbling myself before God and apologizing to him and apologizing to whomever I need to apologize, sometimes God protects us so much that sometimes we don't always have to even go and apologize. You always have to apologize. But a lot of times, you know, he still protects you to where even when it's time to now go confront people who you have offended or, you know, whatever, he still now softens the blow for that because he protects you. But it's, I can't let that be known that I was wrong, or I can't let it be known that I made a bad mistake, or I can't let it be known that I need this, that, and the third. And again, the enemy plays on that shame, and he keeps trying to compound that with more pride to keep you in that darkness until you just end up killing yourself in multiple ways. You don't have to literally kill yourself physically, but you kill yourself in isolation because you're so prideful.
All right.
Hey,
yes.
Shanti, I don't want to die. Can I get $5?
Oh my goodness gracious. Get that $5 up. Pastor Charlotte. So the enemy really does his number on us. when it comes to this pride thing. What say you?
Absolutely. As they was talking, I thought about my own self when that pride kicked in, when I didn't want nobody to know in the areas, like when I became a minister and I couldn't read. I didn't want to ask nobody for help. And then when I became a pastor, I still was feeling that I didn't want people to know, everybody to know, until God put me in the front and for me to give my testimony about my reading problem that I had, and where that people, I always felt that they would look at me funny and would not understand. And then once I start telling my story is when that pride piece really broke away from me, when I was totally free from it. But I had to be able to go humbly and to be able to get the help that I needed, and humbly when I tell my story about it, you know, because still that people will still talk about it, you know, not like in a good way of helping. You have that side, but then you also have the side of people talking about me of, and she think that she can pastor, she think that she can do this, that, and the other, instead of embracing it. And that's what I had to learn of letting it go, because Satan was always in my ear. And sometimes, even to this day, he will get in my ear, but now I learn how to push him away and not hear him and continue to press forward. Because the more he talks and all of that pride comes in, the more that you have to stand in front of God and speak the truth.
All righty. All right, so we're going to go to this final round. We got our Tamika back. Thank you, Shantice, for always helping to hold down. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to keep you on.
Amen.
We got two different areas you can speak from. And we'll start with Pastor We'll start with Tamika. So either you can choose the enemy will distract you with by slandering your name. He will try to take you down by slandering your name. Or he will distract you with sexual immorality. Which one are you taking?
I will take sexual immorality.
Okay.
What we don't realize is that in everything, you know, things on television, books, commercials, anything that you could possibly think of, the enemy has a design to make you look, you know, make you not only look but think on it, you know, to focus on it. There's all types of things everywhere. And you have to pray on a daily basis, you know, especially for individuals who are single. You know, you're often taunted with, you know, oh, well, this one has somebody and this one has somebody. And then somebody, even something simple as, well, when you gonna get married, or when you, you know, you have to be attached to somebody, you know, almost as though it's wrong to be alone. It doesn't mean that you're lonely. It just means that you're alone, allowing God to do what he needs to do, to foster in you, to bless you, to anoint you, to make you stronger, so that the things that are out there that are, you know, just as often as breath, don't detract you and keep you and hold you and bind you from being the great person that you can be in God.
All righty. Good stuff. Shanti, either the enemy can take you down by slandering your name, or he can distract you with sexual immorality.
He will distract you with that sexual immorality. Mm-mm-mm. He will take you down. He will try to keep them thoughts in your mind. He will try to keep you around the men or women you know you ain't got no business being around, the ones who you know, especially if you were into casual sex a lot, and you had those people in that category that that's all you wanted to do with them, he tried to keep you around them people. Or around new people that would have that same concept, that are like-minded in that area. He tries to keep you down with keeping everything that's going on in the world, and especially on social media, where they normalize sexual immorality. So biblically and spiritually, the term is sexual immorality. Streetwise, you talk about casual sex, and they got a whole other, some other phrases I can't say on this Christian podcast. But yeah, so when you try to normalize casual sex a lot, and he tries to keep that in your mind, you know, and where God is now screening what you watch, and because it gets that deep. It gets to what you watch, what you listen to, the type of conversations that you have. So God is on one end screening all of that for you, and the enemy is on the other end still trying to push that, because he knew once upon a time you were comfortable in sexual immorality. So that's where he's going to try to, and how whatever he has to dangle in your face, literally and metaphorically, whatever he got to dangle in your face to keep you in that sexual immorality, he's going to do. But it's up to you to now follow what God is doing, the devices that he is using to break you out of that.
All right, all right. Pastor KL, either slandering your name or that sexual immorality, which one you going with?
Well, everybody done talked about sex, so let me move away from the sex. And I go with slandering your name. Listen, the enemy understood and understands everything that you've ever done. And though you are saved, and though you are trying to do good, evil is present on every side. So sometimes he'll bring up stuff, you know, and he'll talk about stuff that you used to do, you know, and that's where the slander comes. And then what happens with you is that you get back into your remembrance of what things that you've done. And now you think that you're not worthy of the position that you're in now. But God has already forgiven what you won't forget. And you have to stop allowing the enemy to throw stuff up in your face. And just because it's out there, you need to live your life. You know, for God I live and for God I live. You don't have to, for God I live and for God I die. He said, I come that you might have life and that more abundantly. So people are always going to remember where you used to be. And sometimes they won't embrace where you are now for main reasons, because they're jealous. They're jealous of what God is doing for you. They're jealous of how you're coming out of this, in spite of you don't have any money, in spite of you can't read, you don't have an education. But yet God keeps on blessing you. God keeps taking you to the next level. Seems like every time people turn around, there's another promotion or there's another thing where you are being elevated. And folks have to say, listen, you can't have all this stuff because I knew you when. But God said, I've created a new creature in you. You're new today, you know, and you have to stand on the word of God to know that I can do all things through Christ. That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That within the world I can do nothing. But long as I have God on the inside of me, there are doors that are going to be open that I knew I couldn't open on my own. There are positions that I got that I knew my education would not have had allowed me to get it if I went on my own. That God, in spite of what you say about me, God sees me as something else.
All right. Pastor Charlene, slandering your name or sexual immorality, what are we closing with today?
Well, he already preached, so, and I was going with name as well, so amen. But I also was going to do name as well, even though that they do scander your name out there, God still calls your name for the Most High. He still calls your name when everybody else
just as well as when I had spoken about how they put my name out there and they scandalized me and they said all these things that I've never done, but I still had to hold my head up because the Lord told me to keep walking and don't look on either side for me to continue to, I'm calling your name. You are who I say that you are, not who they say that you are. And once again, of the past, that of things that, you know, where I had fallen and where that they remember that until they're able to see, as well as when God puts a shine on you and he calls your name and he cleans you up, it don't matter what other people say. It's what God say who that you are. And I know that you are a child of the King, and that was me. I had to get it in my head. I had to get Satan out of my ear because of my surroundings. And that's another thing, too. Be careful of your surroundings, who you are sitting with, because of how they are scandalizing your name in the mix of the circle. So you have to know who is who and being able to move forward without them, and knowing that not only that who you are and who you belong to, but walk with your head up high and know that God has don't make no mistakes. So you are able to know that I am a child of the King and continue to keep moving.
Amen. Good stuff. Good stuff, crew. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
You as well.
Everyone, have an awesome one. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Let's take this opportunity to hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you, and we can never ask you for anything without first saying thank you. Thank you for just loving us in the special way that you do, dear God. Thank you for touching us in only a way that you can touch us and change our lives, Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for the testimonies that were given today. You know, this is a word of guidance and counsel from experience, from what you've been told, what you've watched. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that these things that we've gone through can actually be turned around to benefit other lives, God, that people can be touched each and every day by a word that's given from you through us, dear God. We thank you, God, for choosing us. Thank you for just every day we wake up, we're still on the battlefield. We haven't been removed because of error. We haven't been removed because of pride. We haven't been removed because of distraction. We haven't been removed because of sin. That you still call us by name each and every day, God. And we thank you for another opportunity to serve you in a special way. We thank you, God, for another opportunity to just speak into your kingdom, into your world. And we can help to make a change in other people's lives, God. As we're talking about this distraction, dear Heavenly Father, we pray, dear God, that you help us keep our eye on the prize. Because your Son died for such a time as this, where we would not be so sinful, God, and just keep him on the cross. The word says, don't put him back on the cross. And Lord, this is just a common occurrence. So let us be more mindful. Let us be more aware. Let us focus. Help us to focus on keeping your Son lifted so that all could worship him. That everyone who deals with us and sees us will see Jesus in us, dear God, that our distractions won't take other people down. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, for just tapping us on the shoulder this morning to say, it's your turn yet again. Oh, thank you, God. We give you the glory and the honor. So rightly do your name. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Ah, you know, as I was looking at the list and kind of giving it out to be spoken on, you know, I just thought about how we allow the enemy to distract us. The enemy can't do any more than what we allow him to do. And, you know, if our own flesh and spirit was in its right order, you know, if we've made that decision to live by the spirit and not the flesh, then we'd be so much better off. You know, the enemy, you know, distracting us with our own pride. You know, so many times people have beat us down. Parents have beat you down. Siblings have beat you down. And you get to the point where you're out on a mission to show everybody who you are and what you can do. And it just becomes a pride issue at that point. And now we're working not against them, but we're now working against God. Got to be very careful of what you make your priority. We don't have to show the world anything. We don't have to prove anything to this world. Just show God that he's made the right decision in keeping your eyes open. That he's made the right decision in waking you up each and every single day. That he could have actually made another decision, but you're grateful. And that you owe him everything. You know, we talked about, you know, people slandering your name. And that's another thing we're so busy worrying about. You know, somebody slandering my name. You know, I think about also, you know, oh, I don't want to put my credit card out there because, you know, I'm scared it's going to get taken and my identity is going to be stolen. And, yeah, it's all the same thing, whether you understand it or not. It's all the same. It's all the same fear. You know, and I listen, I've had my identity stolen 3 times. And look at where I am. I worry about that stuff. Because let me tell you something. If somebody wants to slander you in any shape, form, or fashion, you can't do nothing to stop it. But you got to remember that the word of God says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm like, all right, if you go take my name and mess up my credit, what, I can't get out? God's got me in one. God's got me in two. Ha ha. I can't get a car. Oh, I got a special ride. I'm always going to have a ride. What can I have if someone slanders my name in any manner? I just found out not that long ago that someone they filed a tax return in my name. And the IRS wrote me and said, we flagged this. Something they did didn't look right. You see what I'm saying? I have no idea. Because let me tell you something, your social security number is out there everywhere. So I couldn't even begin to imagine how someone got us access to it, how they managed to not only get access to it, but now you didn't create a whole tax return. I have no clue. I'm living my life, serving God. But guess who's got my back?
So don't worry about nobody slandering your name, because God knows who you are. You're the person in the church slandering your name, the people on the job slandering your name, making you look bad. You don't worry about all of that. You just keep serving God. See, that's what the enemy does, to try to bring you down. So now you now worry, oh, my God, I got to go on the dark web. Oh, my God, I got to keep my name off the dark web. Oh, my God, I got to worry about where I put my – I'm very cautious with my Social Security number. I'm very cautious with my identity, with my ID, with my keys, with everything. Everything, with my mail, everything. Very cautious. I can't get no more cautious than I already am. The rest of it, I've got to leave to God. And it's all the same, whether you're making the connection or not. But it's a distraction. Because, see, now, if I'm now taking time and I'm worrying about who's got my name, where my Social Security number is, where my address is, how many other Stephanie Griffins are out there, blah, 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 blah. Now I ain't got time to work on the things for the church. It's only 24 hours in a day. I keep telling y'all, I only got 1,000 steps a day. So if I'm worried about all of this stuff here, then guess what? I can't focus. I can't focus on God because I'm too worried about who's saying what about me. So-and-so is talking about me on the job. I can't have him or her saying these things about me, making me look bad. You can only listen. God's got you covered. You don't worry about all of that kind of stuff. I look at all the stuff we talked about, the disunity in the church. Well, if you want to change somebody's life, let there be an uproar in the church. Because people start saying all kinds of things. People start acting all kind of ways. Everything, once things get chaotic in the church, all hell breaks loose in someone's mind. Try to get people back together in a church. That's a job. That's a job. I've been on the job, and I have had a really high role in a job. And let me tell you something, when fights break out and all kind of slander and disunity goes on the job, oh, that comes together. You let that happen in the church. Oh, Lord, everything has changed, and my life is the same no more, but I can't believe that happened up here in the church. And listen, people are people. People are people. You just serve God the way you're supposed to serve God. God's going to work that all out. If that church is where you're supposed to be, give it a minute. It'll work itself out. Trust me when I tell you. This church hurt thing, it ain't no different than being hurt on a job, being hurt within your family. It is no different. But the enemy has you believing that church hurt is the worst hurt in the world. Think again. It's only as hurtful as you make it. Put that hurt in the hands of God, and it'll be turned around like anything else in life. Try him. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us today. Please do not miss this opportunity to give God your life right now or deepen that relationship with the Lord. Remember, even the righteous shall scarcely make it in. You want to make sure that everything you're doing is right. Later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday, God spare our life. I love you.